your number one station, your officer station.
You're listening to The Itch. My name is Casey.
My name is Dan.
And I'm Aaron. And this week we're scratching the itch to tread familiar ground, to be honest. What we're going to talk about here might sound familiar because it involves a road trip and a bunch of bands that we have talked with and talked about, some of which were in the same episode that we did a previous road trip that we talked about. So you're going to see some familiarity in there.
Yeah, this should be like episode deja vu.
Yeah.
Yes, kinda. That's exactly what it is. I just used a lot of words to say deja vu. Thank you. That was the better way to put it.
Gonna be scratching an itch for some deja vu.
Yep.
There it is. That's what we're doing. So y'all know how much we ride for Nonpoint and some other bands that we'll get to in just a second here. And they were bringing a tour with some of those bands around, and they came to Chicago. And so I obviously had to see them being here, and KC had to see them because he's a wild man. And so he decided to come up with me, and we checked him out.
I honestly would have been there with you, but external circumstances kind of prevented that. And the other reason why you guys had to go to Chicago is because, you know, St. Louis is lame and nobody ever comes here. I don't know if they're scared of the murder or just, you know, who knows.
Seems unlikely.
We're literally flyover between Kansas and Chicago.
I will say that they the night before the show that we saw on Nonpoint's Million Watts tour featuring Head PE, Sumo Psycho, and Varsity, the night before the show in Chicago, they did a show in the suburbs of Chicago. I'm not saying it was a mistake, but I am saying St. Louis was available. And so next time, one of these times, right, they need to come to us. I feel like they owe us now.
Yeah.
Or to y'all anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, I honestly can't. I mean, probably missed it, but like, I don't remember the last time that they've been through St. Louis, to be honest.
January, the year you got COVID before Shiprock.
All right. Yeah, that's right. That was no bueno.
Because I was going to try to go to that too, but I was sick, not with COVID, but something else. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the year of COVID. I mean, I guess it's still kind of the years of COVID, but whatever.
Yeah.
Sort of in the aftermath. Yeah, I am a little ill right now as we record this, but it is not COVID that I'm aware of. So just going to put that out there.
Have you been tested? Do you know for sure?
Also, fun fact, COVID is not transferable via listening to podcasts. So you're safe even if it is COVID.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, as much as they try,
not this
they
variant
pop on you through the recording.
A podcast variant of COVID.
Yeah, there's the podcast transmission variable variant. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
So, you guys went to Chicago for a concert, huh?
We did. This is my second time at the Bottom Lounge. Casey's first time.
Yeah.
And not the first time this year that we've seen a Nonpoint headline tour in a non-St. Louis city. And even including some of the supporting acts. We had Sumo Psycho with them this time. They were there as well on the tour that we saw, the Emerald Cities tour in the spring with Blacktop Mojo. But this time, again, Nonpoint brought Head PE and Varsity, who you might remember from us talking with Joey like 6 weeks ago.
Yeah,
and a few times before that.
Show.
Yes.
Yeah.
We enjoy us some Joey.
Very much.
So, KC, give me a little bit of initial insight on your impressions of the Bottom Lounge. I know we like to do a little bit of a venue analysis as we do concert reviews.
It was an interesting venue. They had quite a lobby area, I guess you call it.
Well, it was a restaurant and a bar.
Like, yeah,
full-on restaurant basically.
Yeah, / restaurant, because like you walk into the building and it's a bar and restaurant and some pinball machines and a few other things, and then there's a set of double doors that leads you to the concert venue itself. And then, so the restaurant was really nice. We already kind of decided that we were going to wait and eat afterwards, so we didn't partake in the food there, but you know, it looked really good.
It did look good, the stuff we saw people have. Yeah.
There was two different types of nachos, and man, those things were massive.
Yeah. And it did kind of act as a lobby, as you said. But also, you know, it's that kind of venue where, like, you could just go to the bottom lounge and chill at the bar and eat or whatever. Like, you didn't actually have to get a ticket to go into the show.
Yeah.
You had to get a ticket to go into the show, but you didn't have to have a ticket to get into the building.
That,
you know what I mean?
The building. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you could have just stood out in that part and heard the show from inside if you were a real cheapskate. although probably you still want to buy something from the bar, so it probably would even out. Anyway.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Side note, they had a bunch of draft beers or beer menu, and the top billing is hams. So
shout out Winona Fighter.
Yeah. Aaron instantly thought of Winona Fighter and had to take a picture and send it to Winona Fighter on Instagram.
Nice. As a non-drinker, I didn't really get this, but I'm pretty sure that the reason it was tops on the list, and it's the reason that Winona Fighter loves it because it fits their MO, is because it's cheap.
Yeah, it was the cheapest beer on the menu.
Cheapest beer on the menu. I was like, oh, okay, now I really get this.
Sounds
that
right,
just feels right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So I learned some things.
Yep. Makeshift Pabst Blue Ribbon, but you know.
You mean Schlitz?
Makeshift.
But yeah, so Aaron and I got there super early, and we had to wait to for the ticket list to be ready before we could walk in, and we saw a friend of ours that we were hoping to meet in Andy.
You may have seen us interact with Andy if you follow us on the socials, particularly on Instagram. Andy is what I would call a non-point super fan. He yes. sees them a lot, loves them, supports them all the time. He also was at the show earlier this year at the Apollo, the venue that the non-points tour was at the day before this one, when the roof collapsed. And he spent a lot of time in the ICU and in the hospital. He was missing for like a day or two. It's a crazy story.
Yeah.
But he's doing a lot better now, and he's back out on the road hitting shows up, and we've been wanting to meet him since about that time, because that was about the time we first got introduced to him.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he was listening to our podcast because we just recorded the recap episode and put that out. And he was like going to that show like a day or two later, and then that happened. So,
you know, I'll say foreshadow a little bit. We didn't get to see and meet everyone we hoped to at this show, but getting to hang out with Andy definitely made up for that. It was such a nice guy. Looking forward to seeing him, you know, at some future shows. It'll be good times.
Yeah, I felt a little left out. You guys look like you had a lot of fun. I saw all the pictures, and I can't wait to get a chance to meet Andy as well.
We'll introduce you sometime.
Yeah, right. Well, and you mentioned that he's a super fan of Nonpoint, and it's not only that, but then he becomes a super fan of the bands that Nonpoint brings with them, because he's a super fan of Sumo Psycho as well. And now that he's seen a couple of shows, he went up to the Machine Shop and I believe saw at least one, if not both of those shows. So he's hardcore. And
he really is. Like, truly.
And now he's a super fan of Varsity. So you're welcome, Andy.
how can you not be, to be honest?
Yeah. But we'll get into a little bit more of that as we talk a little bit. But one thing that was a slightly disappointing, we sent a message to Jason, the guitarist at Nonpoint, and let him know that the itch is in the building. And then he proceeded to let us know, I'm sorry, I am sick, and I will not be leaving the bus except to play the show. So
you guys should have told him that I wasn't with you. Be like, Dan's not here. It's fine.
Yeah. I didn't think to do that.
Okay,
that might have been funny. That would have been funny.
All right.
No, he kept to his word.
We can hang out then. No, I'm just joking.
Yeah. Apparently, a couple of the members of the band were kind of fighting some colds or sicknesses here and there.
Everyone actually besides Elias caught that.
Yeah.
Because Elias was sharing social media, basically bragging how he was the only one that didn't get sick.
Of course he would.
Yeah, of course.
It went beyond just them as well, because we did get to see our buddy Joey. We saw him soon after we entered the actual venue, and he was talking about how his voice was kind of going out. And so It was kind of funny. He mentioned that what I mentioned earlier about how they had played a show really nearby just the night before. And so, because to me, it looked like the Bottom Lounge, it wasn't a sellout. They've sold out a ton of shows on this tour. This was not one of them. Probably one of those reasons is because people had just seen a show
the night before.
You know, play too close, you kind of cannibalize your own audience a little bit. Yeah. But Joey wasn't bothered by that because the way he saw it was that's fewer people to hear him screw up because he wasn't sure his voice was going to hold out for it. He did fine for the record, but I thought that was a funny take on that whole idea. And for the record, the Bottom Lounge did fill out as the night went on.
Yes, it did. It did. But yeah, it was awesome getting to chat with Joey and you know, he went right up to us and gave me a hug. So I don't know, that part always kind of still blows my mind, that the fact that we were able to build such close connections and just be standing in a venue and like, hey, you're here.
Chilling.
Good to see ya.
Did you guys get to tell him that you're going to be on Shiprock, or did that happen after the fact?
I did tell him. I didn't tell him right then because I didn't want to like talk a bunch of stuff before he went on stage. But we did talk about
it. Was the first thing Casey yelled at him immediately.
Yeah. No, I told
across the room.
I told him about that afterwards. But
because you know, you were talking about hanging out with rock stars, and that's where it's going to blow your mind, because you're just going to be like walking past, like last year, for instance, I saw Rashid everywhere. I was walking around, Rashid was walking around, like we just kept running into each other. It was like, hey Rashid, what's up Rashid. And so like I think that's gonna be the crazy thing, is like just running into people that you know that are rock stars, and like you're talking to them like, you know, it's friends basically.
exactly. And good transition, because speaking of Rashid, that was like pretty much the second person that we saw, and I went right up to him and said hello, and he was kind of preoccupied because he had quite a few family members in the audience. So nice. I didn't try to bother him too much. Just wanted to say hey and shake his hand. And so that's what happened.
Yeah. Chicago is one of Nonpoint's kind of home bases. Yeah. And I think they really emphasize it as sort of a homecoming for Rashid at this show.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was having a good time with some family there and everything, and hanging out with them a lot. So I'm sure that was a great night for him.
Yep. A little bit right before Varsity took the stage, Aaron and I kind of checked out the merch area, and the merch area is really small and narrow hallway, and it's bad on two fronts. It's a small narrow hallway for one, but it's also where the bathrooms are. So you have bathroom traffic going one direction, and then tables with merch in the other direction. And then you have big guys like me that can barely fit down the hallway just in one direction, much less both directions. And yeah, so I didn't venture out in the merch area too much after the initial try.
He held his bladder all night long because he didn't want to have to go down that hallway.
Now there was bathrooms on the restaurant portion. I used
those.
Oh,
that's
twice.
True.
Yeah.
Smart thinking. Good job.
Yes. And those were probably very better smart. Anyway, but I don't know.
I didn't, because I had to tag the one in the venue, and I did. It was worth it.
Yes.
I'd never seen Varsity before.
Yes.
So this was my first time. I know you've seen them before.
Yeah, this was my third time, I believe.
Yeah, you guys are quite familiar at this point. Was there any differences to you? Because I have a few initial observations, but I don't know.
Well, the sound mix was a little off, because for some reason, it's not that the mix sounded bad by any means, but for some reason, Javi's background vocals seemed louder than Joey's initial vocals.
That's true. Yeah. Javi's mic was pretty hot.
I mean, they both sounded great. It just Javi's it was noticeably louder than Joey's. And when Javi's doing screaming most of the time, that's very noticeable in the
yeah,
mix.
Yeah.
but yeah, no, they sounded great. They played a lot off of Levitate. Basically, the entire set was more or less off of Levitate.
Nice. We should expect that, you know, Joey seems to be one that's always on to the next song.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
My two main observations, as an initial thought, they did sound great. Joey, I couldn't tell that there was necessarily, you know, if there was anything wrong with his voice, I couldn't really tell. I will say that he does use a backing track, which is fine, because if you listen to the albums, the vocals are layered there, so it's not just a single voice anyway. It makes sense to have a backing track.
Yeah.
And since Joey's singing voice is kind of that Michael Jackson pop singing voice, I could tell like he himself was handling more of like the harsher when he does kind of the yells and the less pure singing parts and kind of letting the backing track do a little bit of that heavy lifting. I feel like I might be mistaking it, or it could also just been that his mic wasn't turned out very loud, so I couldn't catch every bit.
No, it's
but that's kind of what I noticed.
Which it was a little bit of that plus the mic wasn't as loud. Plus, I think he was trying to kind of not experiment, but like not lean. He didn't lean on the clean vocals like we've seen him before as much this time for this show. So,
you know, you'd think just throwing this out there, and I would have to obviously ask Joey, but do you think that's because like he was like almost kind of the hard? Well, I guess Nine Points are a pretty heavy band, but like they're kind of the heaviest band on that. Like there wasn't a real heavy band on that particular tour that you guys saw. And like every tour we saw him with before, like there's always been a really heavy band on there.
You know, that's an interesting thought. I don't quite think that, because I mean, Sumo Psycho and Head P are kind of heavy in their own respective rights, but
they're not like Secrets or, you know,
well,
like,
no. Yeah.
Screaming,
yeah.
You know,
no, I agree with that. But
it could have been,
yeah,
I say it could have been that or a combination of, like you said, his voice, you know, if he didn't feel his voice was doing that great, it may have been easier on him to not try to hit all the perfect notes. And also to not have his mic up that loud. I don't know. It's all theory, and it's no shade on him by any means. It was a great performance regardless. Just observations of that I feel like I picked up of watching it.
Yeah, no, you're spot on. It was just awesome watching them up there. I mean, all four of these acts as we go along are great at what they do every time I've seen them. So, Chris was beating the crap out of the drums like he always does. I still miss the long hair, but but you know, they're killing it. And Javi, like I said, Javi was killing the vocals. It was a little loud in the mix. But
the one thing I would give to Joey, so Joey, if you're listening, here's just a thing you can try if you're so inclined. They led the set off with FU Forever.
Yes.
And he's mentioned that that's, you know, kind of a great sing-along, kind of you get the crowd giving it back to you. Since that is the case, I would put that one towards the end where you've got the crowd in the palm of your hand and you can pause and you know, inform them that this one's going to involve a little bit of playback. Because by leading off with it, it's a strong lead off, don't get me wrong, but I feel like you're missing an opportunity to have some fun with it later on, because the crowd doesn't know you yet as the opening act of a four band bill. And you're not going to go up and start the show by listening, hey, here's our first song, you know, chant this back at me. Usually you're going to launch right into it like they did.
Yeah.
So that's just an idea for set list structure. I'm sure at some point in their tours, he has or will do something similar to that. So maybe next time we see him.
I was kind of surprised. I was kind of thinking that he would do one song in Spanish simply because Nonpoint is on there, but that didn't happen either.
And because Chicago is a lot of Spanish speaking in Chicago.
Yeah.
It's an appropriate place to break those songs out.
Yeah. but he did not do that. Like I said, it was vast majority of it was off of Levitate, but that was awesome to hear live. First time I've heard all those songs live. So
yeah, I won't get a chance to hear them live for a while. I don't know when he's going to be back.
I'm sure he'll come back pretty quickly.
The band's not going to be through. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he's always on tour.
Yeah, yeah. He'll be at Red Flag or Pops with somebody, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
One thing we forgot to mention. So all throughout this show, we just so happened to be standing next to one of our friends. So as we're watching Varsity perform, who shuffles right in front of us but Rashid and some of his family members. So we were standing in front of Rashid watching Varsity play their entire set. So that was kind of cool.
We're standing in front of him? How does he see anything?
No, he was standing in front of us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was in front of us.
I missed that one.
No, he shuffled in front of us. And
for those of you who don't know, Casey is 6'7", and Aaron's pretty tall himself. He's like, what, 6'3", something like that, 6'2"?
6'1",
yeah. Up there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's taller than my ass, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm like 5'6" here, so.
Tallness comes into play later in this show.
I think this is a good time to bust out what's going to be the shirt alert for this concert. It's not really, there is no shirt alert for this concert. What there is, a Grinch alert.
Yes.
There was a Santa Claus Grinch. There was a man dressed as the Grinch, including the fluffy green hands. He didn't have a mask.
He didn't have a mask, but he had a hat. He had a hat, and then the rest of the Grinch outfit.
Body, yeah, and Santa outfit. And that dude was fun, and he started a pit, I'm pretty sure, during the Varsity set.
A couple times.
Multiple pace. So, and he had lights that would flash and glow and stuff. So he was like super easy to find. So, you know, if you needed something to watch during the sets, you could always watch the Grinch. So that's what you get for seeing holiday shows. That kind of stuff happens.
That's true.
Yeah. And I guess, I mean, we can kind of talk about this right now. There was multiple pits at this show, and it's become a topic of recent episodes. And more often than not, we've seen terrible pits. This venue, the crowd knew the rules of the pit. There wasn't any fights. There wasn't any spilling of beer or really drunk people that I noticed. But the pit itself, there was a couple people that were a little hard hitting, but they weren't doing it to everybody. The ones that were hitting harder were hitting each other, which was That's how you do it. But there was a lot of women in that pit, and. There was a really, really tall guy, about a head taller than me. And
taller than him. I want to let that sink in after what Dan just said a second ago.
I'd say that guy was about 7'1", maybe.
I was like, he had to be pushing the 7-foot mark. Like, that dude was, he was up there.
He was seven, and big. Yeah, he was 7'1". He was basically me, just slightly exaggerated. So about 7'1", and I'd say pushing 400.
Wow. He was big. But he was in that pit, not hurting people.
Yeah, he was in the pit, and he was doing like this like car wash move, and then like lightly forearming people, and then kind of like spinning like a washing machine or something. So it was a weird move, but I applauded his effort, because I that's why I don't want to go to pits, because I don't want to hurt people. So
I don't want to get hurt. That's the reason.
Yeah, I'm on Dan's side.
Yeah.
So I busted an ACL in high school, and I'm always a little bit afraid of when that knee might get knocked out again. And it's not going to happen at a show. I'm not going out that way.
Yeah.
But this place was a I don't know. It was a class act of pit etiquette.
It was.
You had giant guy being gentle. There was a tiny girl with bright red hair, bouncing around like a bunny rabbit, having the time of her life.
Yeah,
seeming very safe and secure. Yeah, there were people who would pick up each other's cell phones that they dropped and like stop and be like, find the owner and hand it back to them. That's how you do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was nice to see a appropriate pit, because I hadn't seen it in so long. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
The last pit I was in, I busted my elbow, and I'm pretty sure you guys can still hear it pop every time.
Oh my! That was a significant pop.
Time, I told you.
Got bone chips in that elbow.
Yeah. I am not gonna boost the audio of that. That's going to be as it was, and you will hear exactly how loud that pop was.
Yep. Anyway.
Speaking of pits.
Yes. Speaking of pits. Yeah.
Our next act is one that is known to start the pit themselves at some point during their set. Sumo Psycho went up. They did something that I thought was kind of cool. They actually went up a few minutes before their set was scheduled to start and said, "Do you mind if we go on early?" And I'm pretty sure that they snuck themselves an extra song in for doing that, which is
nice.
Clever, and also keeps us from having to stand around and wait. There wasn't long waiting periods in this show in general, but they in particular were just ready to roll.
They were ready to roll quickly, which I appreciated. Yeah. So that was awesome. Two notes before we dive into Sumo Psycho's set. So Joey, as we're watching the set, Joey had some friends there, and they, just like Rashid earlier, they kind of randomly just stood next to us, and then Joey met up with them and was standing right next to me and didn't even realize it. So then I kind of tapped him on the shoulder, and he saw me, and he's like, "Hey, how was it? Was it good?" Like, yeah, you killed it.
Oh, we're going to do a whole show on it. Don't worry.
Yeah, right.
We are going to roast you so hard.
No, but so it was awesome standing and watching Sumo Psycho standing next to Joey. So that, again, just so happened to be there. And the other thing, Matt was wearing a shirt of our friends in Trawl.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We confirmed with Trawl later in the night, because you couldn't see the shirt entirely because he had this like vest on as well.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm pretty sure that's Trawl's font and their like shark logo thing that they use.
Yeah.
So we texted a picture of to them, and they're like, yep. They were super cool whenever, because they played a couple of shows together up in the Northeast.
Yeah.
He insisted on, I forget exactly what he told me. Something effective, like he insisted on buying a shirt and like our music
and some CDs. And he was just like,
yeah, yeah, Matt was super, Matt Drake of Sumo Psycho, super supportive of Trawl, the local opener at some of their shows up in that area. So, and quality dude.
So supportive that he continues to wear the shirt while he performs.
Yeah. Like a year and a half later.
Years later.
Yeah.
So, very cool.
So, this is my third time seeing Sumo Psycho, and at least your second, right?
Yep.
Okay. They're a fun live band. To be honest, it's the same shtick. It's been basically the same shtick each time I've seen them, but it's a fun shtick, you know?
Yeah, I was kind of hoping, because I know that they've been working on new music, I was kind of hoping that they would sneak like a new track in, but they did not. But I mean, they play a great set every time. So
yeah, they do a few different things. They did their traditional cover of System of a Down's BYOB, which I think that they did a little earlier in their set this time than when we saw them in Kansas. Yeah. I think that was for the better, because I think that's a great track. And they introduce it this way. They're always like, you know, we like to mix in our set with something that we know everybody is going to know. And then I believe one of them said, I think Mad said something to the effect of, if you don't know this song, you need to exit the building right now.
Yeah. Exactly.
So yeah, they do their kind of abbreviated BYOB, and it's awesome. They also do the bit where Sky hops on Matt's shoulders and rides around on him while he continues to play, and she continues to sing, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, that was during Move Mountains.
Which is the same set. Yeah, he'll drop her off in like the middle of the crowd.
The song. Yeah.
In the middle of the song. And that's when she also, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I could be conflating two stories, but I think that's also about the time when she does her own like everybody get low kind of bit.
Yep.
So she gets in the middle of the circle and has everybody crowd around her. She's like, "All right, everybody, get down low with me. Use those muscles you haven't used in a while." And I'm like, man, I hate when people say that kind of stuff, because I know I can't use them right now. I'm just I'd be getting down to one knee, and she'd be like, "All right, whenever on the count, we're all gonna jump up." And I'm like, "No, we're not all gonna jump up." Like, some of y'all are going to jump up. I'm going to creak up.
Yeah.
Unless you want to hear this. No. Yeah.
So all of Dan's joints are just cracking. Yeah.
All the way up.
Followed by a blood-curdling scream.
That's more of a...
Well, yeah. Anyway. But yeah, so that
always fun to see sumo.
Yeah, always a good time. We did not. Aaron tried to chat with Matt, and then we never really had the full opportunity to chat with any of the members of Sumo Psycho.
I was gonna go talk to Matt about the troll shirt, but he was. Not later on, but he was like not only like occupied, he was deep in like explaining something to somebody.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's no way I'm going to interrupt this. And there's another band about to go on.
Right.
So, it's a work in progress. We'll get to him later.
Sky was mostly in the merch area. And like I said, it was a narrow hallway. So I was like, yeah, I'm good. I'll try to see if she comes away from the merch area, which that didn't quite happen. But that's all right. We'll catch her next time.
They're on our agenda. Whenever when they have new music, we'll see about see if we can get them back on or something. I think that would be fun.
Yeah, maybe next time we can get both of them.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's the plan. Yeah. So, Head PE took the stage next, and I was excited to see them play again. Dan and I had a chance to see them earlier in the year in May. So they pretty much played the same set that Dan and I heard in May. They played two different cover songs that we did not hear. I was hoping that they would play something off of Detox, and they played nothing off of Detox. They
really?
talked about Detox. He talked about how there was a new album coming, but then he proceeded to not play any songs off of Detox.
Well, I think that's also because like that whole tour was pretty much right before the album actually came out.
It was.
They didn't want like somebody pirating the song or something. I, you know,
maybe, but I would assume that they would have played like Waiting or something.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know, but they didn't play anything new. But it's we've made reference to this in previous episodes, but it's so fun watching Jarrett up on stage now. Because he's just having so much fun up on stage. He just looks like he's enjoying life. He talked a lot about, all right, remember when I used to be famous and I was playing House of Blues?
Yeah.
Like
he goes, now we always play the Yeah. He goes, now we always play the next town over at Jerry's Pizza.
And he's like, don't get me wrong, I love me some Jerry's.
he is funny. He had like my favorite lines of the night. He was just very grateful to be there. So for one thing, I want to shout out Nonpoint, because I've noticed this. So the one we saw before, Nonpoint, Blacktop Mojo, Sumo Psycho, it was a very well-established veteran band and two kind of like on the rise bands.
Yeah.
This one, Head PE, also represented that same kind of era that Nonpoint got their start in. And so I think it's kind of cool, because you got to be careful, because if you're not careful, you know, some of those tours just become pure nostalgia. And Nonpoint's very careful, I think, in making sure that their tours mix and match the new and the old. The crowd was there for Head PE as well. Like, they were really into them. You could tell these are a lot of people who, you know, these are like early 2000s, like new metal fans and kind of stuff that. They were there for Nonpoint and Head PE.
There was a good chunk of the crowd that was there for Head PE.
Like, yeah, they were very, very more vocal
so,
about it.
More so Head PE than Nonpoint to an extent. A couple of people around us were super happy.
All that to say, Head PE was super glad that Nonpoint brought them out on the tour. He said something to the effect of like, he said, Nonpoint has saved Christmas for Head PE. I gotta do a Jared voice. I've almost got one anyway because I'm sick. Nonpoint has saved Christmas for Head PE. And thank goodness, because I got kids.
Yeah. And he's like, diapers he are said, fucking expensive, y'all.
Yeah, yeah. He goes, I got a 16-year-old and a 2-year-old, so I'm buying skateboards and diapers. This is my way of asking you to buy a t-shirt, because it puts milk in the bottle.
That's fantastic.
It was great.
It was awesome. Yeah. And the band was great. You know, he had Kid Bass up there doing his thing. You have
his set list.
Yeah, that didn't happen this time that I noticed.
That's funny.
But Miles was beating the crap out of those drums and those cymbals. There was a broken cymbal, I kid you not, on the merch booth when we went over there earlier. There was a broken cymbal, and if I wouldn't have known, it would have looked like the exact same cymbal that he broke in May, because it was the exact same spot that he broke the other one on.
Now I think it's a shtick. Now it got me wondering. You know how Jason paints the drum heads and sells them? Yeah. I think this dude breaks cymbals regularly and just sells them.
He might.
That's possible.
Yeah.
He had those. You know how some motorcycles have the tall handlebars that you gotta lift your arms up for? I've got Sons of Anarchy on my mind. I just finished watching that series, so I'm thinking about motorcycles. That's how this dude's drums were set up. His cymbals were way up in the air, and he was just swinging all up in the sky at them. And I don't understand why that's a thing, but it was cool, though, and he had mad energy. So
he does a good job with it.
Maybe he moved him away so he doesn't hit him so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. If these were any closer, I'd break them all.
Probably.
That's probably what it was. The elevated cymbal action going on there.
But yeah, so Aaron, this being your first time seeing Head PE, so when we saw him in May, you know, it's pretty much, you know, playing the hits for the crowd. You know, a lot of bands, you know, they've been around for years and they kind of get tired of playing the hits, but Head PE doesn't shy away from that. So what were your thoughts on the actual performance?
Pros and cons. Pro, Kid Bass looks like Parappa the Rappa, which is a deep cut of a reference that I hope somebody listening gets.
Nice.
He's also super cool because he makes custom bracelets to order at the merch booth after the show. He literally just sits there at the merch booth and has his materials. Bracelets. Yes, thank you. And he will make you a bracelet to your desire. And I think that's a cool and unique little thing to do. So there's that.
It's how he eats dinner every night.
Yeah, exactly. I did appreciate hearing some of the greatest hits, you know, Killing Time and Blackout. They didn't do Swan Dive, and I was really bummed about that. The always the pro and con. Oh, they also have a song, and I don't know what the song is. You guys know the band better than I do. But the line is like, push me in, I'm going to push you back. And that song, you know what I'm talking about off the top of your head?
I don't know the name of the song, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's perfect for a live show because it literally instructs people how to use a mosh pit. And when that song breaks out, it breaks out hard. It was the best pit explosion of the night.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
The downside to Head PE to me is always that they're still just kind of nasty. like Bartender is such a good song and such an awful song at the same exact time. And that is exactly Head PE in a nutshell to me. I'm like, there's something that's so cool about this and also something that just makes me feel gross.
Yeah.
And so
it's really funny because like the gross, you know, what you refer to gross or you know, overly sexualized lyrics were kind of absent from a lot of their songs. But like there's, you know, like one or two in the new album, just like, huh, that's interesting.
He mentioned that he's bringing it back.
He did say that. Like he said he'd done social media too. He's like, I'm tired of being canceled. I don't give a shit anymore if I'm canceled. He's like, what? He's basically said, I guess, kind of what you said. He's like, well, you know, we're playing small venues. What do I care? Like, what?
Yeah. No, right. It's saying what he wants is probably not going to cost him anything at this point in his career.
Yeah.
No.
Like, he's fine. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
But so that's always my thing with Head PE is that kind of mixed feeling just about them in general. And that they put on a very good and very energetic live show that still kind of lingers with me personally, though. So that's a personal taste thing. It doesn't apply to everybody.
Well, yeah, right. I'm not I'm just not a fan of the misogynist lyrics. Outside of that, like, you know, the drug use and everything else. Yeah, I'm for that. Like, it's party. Fuck it. Like, but, you know,
but everything else. Get misogynistic sometimes. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, that's where it makes it uncomfortable for me. But beyond that, like, I love everything else about him.
Yeah. Well, and I enjoy it. Like I said, I enjoy watching him because, you know, his voice is fried compared to what it once was, but he knows how to use his current voice very well.
Yeah.
So, and he did the airplane move during the one song like he did before, the exact same thing, like getting ready for takeoff. And then they play the breakdown for really long time as he spins around like an airplane. Nice. But good stuff from Head PE. All right, on to the main event.
Them dudes from Nonpoint. Yeah.
Who were like half stick, apparently.
Yeah, so this show was not without its trouble. First of all, you had Jason, who was playing with, I think at some point somebody mentioned that he had a high fever, which makes anything you do miserable. Yep. And so the poor guy.
The thing that I'll say about Jason is, as far as playing, you wouldn't have known a difference from that at all. The thing that I could tell a difference from, I mean, he's not an overly smiley guy and like a happy guy, kind of like Elias would be, but he, like the extra sweat on his face from the fever, like you could just tell that he had this, like, I hope this goes smoothly.
Just an uncomfortable look, basically.
Yeah.
His body, the dude still had his moves. He was still, you know, spinning around, shredding, hitting all the licks. Like, you couldn't tell anything. It was his face where you could see, like, he was just holding himself together as best that he could because he was feeling miserable and didn't truly want to be there, except for the fact that, you know, it's his job and he does love the fans. But, yeah. He was doing the best he can with a tank that was just about empty, it seemed like.
Well, that and he would headbang a little bit, and then I think then the fever would kind of kick in a little more, like with the more headbanging, so then he would stop headbanging. And then
I commend him. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he would jump, but he wouldn't jump nearly as high as he normally would off of
like
the ride.
Like I said, not a whole lot of gas in the tank, but he was giving it everything he had.
He did
and
everything.
And again, it didn't affect the performance, in my opinion. The only thing that affected his performance was the fact that there were some tech issues with his guitar, which at one point he just straight walked off the stage in the middle of the song and got a different guitar because something went wrong.
Yeah.
But there was tech issues with Elias's mic at the beginning of the set as well that was kind of an issue. They handled it like pros, but you could tell neither of them were too happy with it. Probably especially Jason on top of everything. He's like, I already am sick, and now my stuff is not working right, or somebody, you know, with the sound booth's not working right, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You can tell it was the last thing he wanted, but again, they're pros, so they muscled through it and they did fine.
Yeah. So seeing this set compared to the Emerald Cities tour, they played one extra song. The Emerald Cities was 14 song set. This one was 15 technically. They didn't do a cover of In the Air Tonight. But they did do a partial cover of Beastie Boys, Fight for Your Right to Party.
Elias, was so fun.
Yeah, Elias was extra.
Just extra.
He's
just extra.
he had a lot more crowd banter at this show than he did at the previous one. He was telling all sorts of crazy stories. At one point he was telling, like, you know how we got the name Nonpoint, right? And he starts telling this story about I was in shop class and the teacher, you know, he started pointing at me with the chopped off finger. It was the non-pointy finger. So it's like, okay.
He's like, that's totally false. I just made that up. Like, no, it was fun though, because he was walking around on the stage and just like shoving the other guys and being like, what are you here for? And they'd be like, I'm here to party. And then he goes up to Rob and he shoves Rob, which I don't advise anybody that's not in Nonpoint to ever shove Rob.
Especially a sick Rob.
Especially a sick Rob, yeah. Rob's like, I'm here to fight. And so I got scared, but then they started playing the Beastie Boys, so it was all okay. It was a fun bit.
It was.
They also did, so they did a number of different things from the last time we saw them. There's four that stand out. One was that they did play a couple of songs in Spanish, of their Spanish songs, I should say.
Yes.
Which I was excited about in theory because I'm trying to learn Spanish and I was hoping I could keep up a little bit, but nah, he lost me immediately. I couldn't. I was lost. I'm glad they did it, but it didn't do anything for me because I was toast on the Spanish.
Yeah. No, I mean, I enjoyed both sets, but there was, like you said, there was things that stood out.
Actually, I got one. I want to pose a question for Dan, just a little trivia. They played some songs off of the new EP, off of Heartless.
But not Heartless.
Well, that's a mild spoiler, but yes, that is true. And one of the songs they played off of that new EP, Elias said was his favorite non-point song ever, which kind of blew my mind that he would say that about a song this far into their career, especially one that's not Ruthless, because that's the one that I ride for as possibly my favorite. But anyway, I just want to throw that out there and see if Dan might have had a guess as to which one. You get one guess because there's only five songs on the EP and Casey already eliminated one of them. So
it's funny because when you said that, I was thinking A Million Watts, but I feel like that is the obvious answer. So I'm going to go with Golden Gloves. I don't know.
It's neither of those.
Want to Be King then, isn't it?
Yep.
Want to Be King. He said it was his favorite non-point song ever. So listeners, if you want to start somewhere with non-point and you want to know how Elias works, go look up Want to Be King. That's your intro.
I think it's a very personal song. He, you know, it's basically kind of him, shouting out stuff. And so I love yeah. this song.
Yeah.
The other awesome thing that they did, and I need to go back and listen to this, but I'm pretty positive that in our first interview with Jason, he said that this was one of his goals that he wanted them to do sometime. Cause we were asking him about, what he would like to get them to incorporate, that he could learn to play or whatever. And he said he wanted to get him to do that one at the end of Statement where they do all the rap songs. And they did at this show. They played Tribute. It was great. I'd never heard it before.
Yeah,
same. It was super fun. Elias and Rashid trading rap vocals. Rashid being Busta Rhymes. It was awesome.
Yeah, nice. he didn't even play an instrument. He just went up there with a microphone at the end.
He put his guitar down, grabbed that mic, and was going to town.
Yeah, that was the encore song, and they killed that song.
It was super fun.
One of the cool things. So again, most of the time as we're watching the show, we're randomly standing next to members of bands. Javi and his girlfriend were standing next to us during the majority of non-point set. So just so happened.
Well, and that's kind of a staple point of all the non-point tours that we've noticed is all the bands are very supportive of each other and they all go out there and watch each other's sets. Like, I'm sure that they do that like every single night too, because if they're doing it, the show that we see it, it's probably not just a one-time thing.
Right. Yeah.
I think you're right. So it was a very different set than the one we saw earlier in the year, and for multiple reasons, good and bad, but still a very enjoyable set. They're just, I don't know that you can go wrong seeing
no.
them, period. And so definitely had some perks with some of those new songs and some Statement action going on.
Yeah, it was awesome. Wish we could have chatted with Jason a bit, but he didn't want to get us sick and he wanted to lay down and try to get better.
Yeah. As of this recording, I believe they finished the tour now with those machine shop dates.
Yep.
They're probably heading back home, and I hope that they are all feeling better.
In time for
they
Christmas.
Aren't, that I hope. Yeah, I hope it happens very soon so they can all be well for Christmas.
Yeah. So as the show wrapped up, we got to chat with Joey a little bit, and we got to meet up with Andy again and introduce Andy to Joey. And I just want to kind of real quick, a couple days ago, Andy Andy posted on Instagram and about us. And it just another one of those things that kind of, you know, is mind blowing because, you know, artists feel this all the time and get shout outs and stuff. But he basically said that as, you know, as he's in the hospital, he's listening to our podcast and our shenanigans for a brief period in time would make him forget about the pain that he was going through coming out of the coma and trying to learn how to, you know, be his normal self again. So that was, wow. That was very touching. And, you know, we're here for anybody that enjoys listening to us. So we appreciate, yeah. We appreciate, everybody's feedback and engagement. And Andy is one of the best at that. So we appreciate you, man.
Yeah, that's amazing. We definitely appreciate that. It's funny because we started this podcast just kind of idea of spreading music, but it's become way more than that. And it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wanted to touch on that. And we got to chat with him as the night came to a close. And Joey was at the bar and he was chatting with somebody for a long time. And he noticed that we were sitting over at a booth and he's like, you guys aren't leaving right now, are you? I'm like, no, we're fine. Take your time. You're good. And so it took a bit, but he came back around and got to chat with him as they were, the rest of the band members were like in the van, ready to go.
And we closed down the venue.
Yeah.
And Joey closed down the venue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it was time to get out of there for everybody. Yeah.
Right. But I told him, you know, that I got the email about Shiprocked and he's like, fuck yeah, let's go. So yeah, he was excited.
Yeah, and actually, so speaking of that I will be seeing Nonpoint right before Shiprock because they're playing the pre-party and I'm already registered because yeah. It's happening right across the street from the hotel that I'm staying at. So I'm super excited for that because it's also Aaron Jones and I'm
there you go.
Stoked. Oh yeah. My God. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. So looking forward to all of that. So yes. Million Watts Tour is an awesome experience and glad to see them for a second time.
Yeah. Sorry that I could not make it. I'm definitely a little saddened, but I had some prior obligations. So
yeah, it happens.
You can only do so much, especially when it comes to road trips. We understand.
We can't make all of them. And you know, at the time I didn't think I was going to be attending Shiprock. So that was one reason why I wanted to see this show. And then I get an email that I can attend that weekend. So
there you go.
So
I believe this is our last show probably of 2023. And so just, you know, piggybacking off of what you were saying a minute ago, we just a big thank you to people who listen and to people who follow on socials and particularly to people who interact, respond to stuff, reach out. And especially when they let us know that we've introduced them to a new band or helped them through something difficult or that, you know, they get a kick out of these rants about live shows that kind of, you know, amble around to who knows where. You know, that is super rewarding. I get caught up looking at numbers and being like, I want to see this thing grow and have a bunch more. But I think it's very important whenever you're making something and putting it out there to not necessarily be worried about all the people who aren't tuning in nearly as much as you're concerning yourself with the people who are. And so very much, you know, we appreciate you guys that are listeners and interactors.
Yeah, I like to compare it to like when a band is starting out and they're playing gigs and all the only people that are showing up are like friends and family. It's very similar to that in the sense that, like, you know, when we first started this podcast, like there wasn't very many people listening to it other than friends and family. But the people that listen to it now are so unique and so personal to us because you guys still feel like friends and family. There's no doubt about it because like, it's still very new. The listeners that we have are very unique, and we cherish every one of you.
Yep.
Well said.
Agreed.
And hey, hit us up if you're going to be on Shiprocked, because we can hang out there too.
Yes, we agree. Yes, because we will most likely be identified with shirts all throughout the, you know, weeks at some point.
Here's hoping. Let's get some new shirts. We need to get some sleeveless ones or like some itch sandals or what do we need to do for this? I don't know. Sleeveless
ones. So thank you very much for listening to honestly all of our concert reviews for this year. Like Aaron and Casey alluded to, like it's been an incredible year. It's amazing to be able to go to these concerts and then talk about it. And then it's even more amazing that people actually want to hear about it. That's to me is just is awesome. So I truly appreciate everybody that's listening because this has been an incredible year. It continues to be an incredible experience, and we do it for our own fun, but it wouldn't continue if it was just for us, because most likely people will be like, no, we're not giving you these tickets. You don't, we're not having this person on your show. You're a waste of our time. All right. So thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for everything that you guys do. And thank you very much right now. My name is Dan.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Aaron.
And until next time, if you ever want to make the news, if you ever want to get Brazil naked, dancing carnival cruise, shiprocked on the forum block.
If you enjoyed what you heard in this episode, please subscribe and tell a friend about The Itch.
Check out the show notes for links about the episode, as well as our new music playlist and where you can hear us every Sunday night.
And you can interact with us at itchrocks.com or on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Gmail, all at itchrocks, I-T-C-H-R-O-C-K-S.